W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, Texas Wildfires. I'm Daria Aldinger. Dozens of counties in the Texas Panhandle declared disaster areas by Governor Greg Abbott. They're in the paths of four major wildfires. ABC's Maria Villarreal in Fort Worth.
Governor Abbott is declaring a state of emergency for 60 counties, saying these wildfires are devastating. As of right now, forecasters say they expect the conditions to improve overnight, but they could get worse once again by the end of the week.
In the city of Canadian, residents are being told to shelter in place with all of the roads out impassable. Misty West lives in nearby Pampa.
It just moves so fast. There's just no trees. It's flat out here, or canyons and ranch land. And that's where it just, I think they were saying it was going like 5 miles an hour, which you think isn't that fast, but it is.
A quarter of a million acres have already burned. This is ABC News. The family of a non-binary student who died in Oklahoma is still waiting for the official cause of death.
More security and continuing outrage at Owosso High School outside Tulsa, Oklahoma, after the death of 16-year-old Nex Benedict, a non-binary student who fellow students say had faced ongoing bullying. Benedict died after a fight in a school bathroom earlier this month, sparking protests and vigils at the school across Oklahoma and around the country. Investigators say Benedict died from injuries suffered in the bathroom fight. So far, no arrests have been made, but students and parents are calling for changes in the district anti-bullying policies. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
The U.S. Army is downsizing by about 24,000 or 5% of its personnel. The Army says the cuts will mostly be to already empty posts and not to active duty soldiers. The U.S.-made lunar lander Odysseus is still sending pictures back to Earth, even though it's on its side. Odie is also nearing the final hours of its life, the moon's south pole. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
You need skill and a little luck to play the game of pool, and you could say one cue-making company in Wisconsin has both. Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake is the oldest pool cue-maker in the U.S. and remains a family-owned, third-generation operated business. Schmelke started as a one-man shop in the 1940s. Now more than 20 employees work at the facility. So do you know which state has the most cue-making manufacturers? Is it Maryland, Minnesota, Wisconsin? The answer coming up. Pool is an old game, and the cues similar to the ones used to play today were created in the late 1600s in Northern Europe. Pool came to America in the 19th century. So did you guess which state currently has four of the top five cue manufacturers? It is Wisconsin. And Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake has also been inducted into the International Cue Makers Hall of Fame, making this a worldwide slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A pair of redistricting experts is billing the state $128,000 for the work they did for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. About half of the bill will be paid by taxpayers. The rest of the cost will be covered by the six parties in the case, including three groups funded by private lawyers. The case was effectively closed when Governor Evers enacted new maps last week. Black History Month is winding down, and black leaders in Wisconsin say they're dismayed by the recent rhetoric over diversity, equity, and inclusion. State Representative Lakeisha Myers says civil rights protections are the law for good reason.
So people can get their work done and not be harassed, intimidated, actually have the ability to be hired in certain jobs.
Myers speaking with the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Channel. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
It's the Bucks and the Hornets tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks are back home, and what Giannis says seems like forever, taking on the Charlotte Hornets.
Going home now. I feel like we've been on the road for so long. Play against Charlotte. They're a tough team, young team, play fast, very, you know, scrappy, crafty players. dangerous team. We have to, you know, respect them and play good basketball, play hard like we did. Hopefully, we can get a win.
Bucks forward Bobby Portis.
The second half of the season, it's a sprint right now. 24 games left, and we had 26 after the break. Every game starts to matter.
College hoops: the Wisconsin Badgers in Indiana to take on the Hoosiers. NFL: the Packers at the NFL Combine. GM Brian Gutekunst says he thought Green Bay was on their way to beating the 49ers and on to the NFC Championship.
Yeah, we were, you know, 5 minutes ago in that game. I mean, I think we were squarely thinking that's where we were headed.
That's Brian Gutekunst with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Some rain showers this evening, becoming all snow showers overnight, and windy, gusts 30 to 40 miles an hour. A low to the mid-teens, wind chills drop to near zero. Flurries and clouds linger tomorrow morning, then clearing and colder for the afternoon, high mid-20s. But up to 40 Thursday. Currently 57
Tune
degrees.
Tune in Wednesday. Very special Devil's Advocates. The boys are back from Michigan. We'll tell you all about it and the results of the Michigan primary. Tune in Devil's Advocates 3 to 6.
From I-43 to I-41. This is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who can still look intimidating in leg warmers, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, welcome back to Nightlight. Beautiful day here. Broadcasting statewide from our WGBW studios at City Deck Landing in beautiful downtown Green Bay. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night. Always enjoy talking to my old friend, Andrew Genzer. Coming up shortly, Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel will be here to talk movies and TV. Always fun to talk to Chris. Conrad, Chris is fast becoming, I think, a Nightlight bestie.
Yeah, you got to compete with Terry Barr, though.
Terry Barr and Rob Thomas. So I think we got room, though.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night on the program, comedian Brian Hicks will be here. He is playing Wisconsin. He's got a date coming up. We'll talk to Brian about that. Very funny guy. And Christy Barlamont. Christy will talk to us tomorrow about the progress being made locally in the fight against dementia. Right now, this is kind of fun for me. My brother, Andrew, is in town. He's a lawyer here in Wisconsin, lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. He goes back and forth. And he's in Green Bay. So I said, you got to come in and tell this story, because I think it's just the story has always cracked me up. Andy, welcome to Nightlight.
Thanks, Pete. Great to be here.
Who's your favorite bigger brother, me or Tim?
It's an honor. You're both equal in my eyes.
Well said. Very diplomatic. So, okay. So years ago, Andy had the Twitter handle at UW Badgers.
Yeah.
You were a visionary. And you snagged it before your beloved alma mater could have it.
I did, yeah.
And it's one of those things, I think, at the time, I remember you telling me you just thought it was cool. Yeah, I'm at UW Badgers because you love the Badgers. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, it's like corporations get involved in schools, and it's like, hey, we want that.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what happened.
Well, I had been to like a continuing education kind of thing we have to do to be a lawyer. And there was someone there talking about Twitter, and it was going to be the next social media app, and you kind of had to be part of Twitter. And they explained a little bit about how it works, and, you know, you have a handle and that's your identity. And it occurred to me as I was looking through the handles that at UW Badgers was still wide open. And I guess the school hadn't figured out yet that Twitter was about to be a big thing. So I reserved it. I took ownership in some respect. I don't know how it really works legally, but I took ownership and claimed at UW Badgers, and never really thought much about it. I really did kind of have good intentions. Like I wasn't claiming it to make money off of it.
Right.
I just thought I went to the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I love the Badgers, football, basketball, the women's volleyball team, the women's basketball team. So I follow it, and I loved it. And my intention originally was just to post about it and, you know, talk all things Badgers and hopefully have a community of people and all that stuff. Of course, I got too busy in life and that never really materialized.
It was just sitting on a shelf.
It was there.
UW Badgers.
Yeah.
So, did you ever tweet as UW Badgers?
I think I did once or twice.
Yeah.
Probably after they lost some heartbreaking game or something. I was like, you know, these coaches are terrible. They got
Michigan stinks at UW Badgers.
Yeah, right. Right. So, but never really did much with it at all. And then maybe 3 years, 4 years later, I got an email out of the blue from someone with the school saying, hey, this is a handle that we want to have. And would you consider selling it to us or giving it to us or something?
Did they ask you for money right away?
Well, I forget how it originally happened. I think they said, we'd like to acquire it. And, you know, if you'd consider giving it to us or selling it to us, we would be interested in working something out. And I said, you know, I still want to use it. I still genuinely wanted to use it. I said, so I don't think so. And then they were like, well, okay. You know, and I never heard anything. And then maybe a year and a half later, someone got back to me again, was like, hey, we really want this. I was like,
cha-ching.
Okay. Yeah. And I said, well, what, you know, what can we work out? And they said, well, you know, we're willing to give you some money, but we would hope that it would be reasonable because, number one, we are the school. It's at UW Badgers. This is our kind of, you know, this is our stuff. So if we have to go to Twitter and appeal to them, we might do that. And I said, well, I'm sure we can work something out because I love Madison.
Yeah.
I love the school. I want to help them, you know. I said, I'm sure we can work something out. And they said, well, how much would you want for it? And I said,
million bucks.
Yeah, I know. Well, at the time, still, Twitter was still kind of new.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't that, like, I really didn't think I had a huge moneymaker on my hands anyway.
Right.
And so I think I did quote them a price. And they said, we can't pay that. And I said, all right, well, I'll tell you what. Give me an autographed football from Barry Alvarez and an autographed basketball from Bo Ryan, and we can do it. We can work something out. I'll send it over to you or do what I need to do to assign it to you. And they said, okay. And just so you know, if you're ever in Madison and you want a tour of like Camp Randall or the Kohl Center, we'd be happy to do that for you.
And is that how you knew you lowballed? Like they cover the phone. All he wants is a signed ball.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Offer him a tour.
They just pulled another one out of a bin that they have, and we're like, right. Oh, okay, yeah, sure, we'll FedEx it to you. And that may have been what happened.
Stop writing the $1 million check. He just wants a basketball.
Right, right. Do you ever see American Pickers? Like when the guy goes and he offers them a number, and they're like, whoa. Or they give him they quote him a price. He's like, no, that's too low. Yeah, that's exactly kind of what it may have been.
But you didn't care that much, as I recall.
I didn't really care. They were like, you can consider it a donation to the school. And I was like, okay, that's fine. I don't really care. I'm not going to do anything with it anyway. And this isn't a business that I really care too much about to run or, you know, steal people's licensing rights to certain names that they have or anything. So anyway, I guess it was to some extent a donation to the school, but they did give me two autographed football and autographed basketball. It's still in my office to this day. I love them.
Signed by Barry Alvarez.
Signed by Barry Alvarez and Bo Ryan.
The heyday of Badger sports in that era.
Yeah. And the best part about it was that we did take them up on that tour. So you and your kids.
That was so fun.
You and your kids and me and my kids went on the tour of Camp Randall.
That I remember.
And it was great. It was absolutely great. We went at a time when there were some Badger players. It was like in the middle of summer, right? Like maybe early August.
Yeah, it was summer.
And there were some Badger players working out on the field.
That was cool, yeah.
And then our kids started to go over to them and got their autographs on some footballs. And then they started throwing a couple of passes kids and stuff.
I remember it was Tanner McAvoy.
It was Tanner McAvoy. That's the only one I remember.
No, there was a little guy who was really fast and returned kicks, just built.
Yeah, I can't remember.
What the heck was his name? But they were all cool to the kids.
Were great.
The kids loved it, and that was so much fun. I remember taking the tour. My guest, by the way, is Andy Schwabe. Yes, there is a relation. He is the younger, taller brother of the Schwabas, of the Schwaba men, if I can include myself in that group. He is telling us the story about the time he took UW Badgers on Twitter, just kind of on a whim, and ended up giving it to his alma mater so graciously. But we got to tour the whole stadium, Andy, and I remember this because Barry Alvarez has a box. They showed us where he watches the games.
Yeah.
Do you remember? This was so crazy. He does not have a good view of the field. He's like way up in the corner. I'm like, no. Really? Like, talk about.
Right.
I'm like, UW must be incredible negotiators. They just give you a couple of balls. They give the guy who turned the program around, they stick him in the nosebleeds, you know? Well, but it was cool seeing where he sat.
And you would think that he's probably entertaining donors and other bigwigs for the school. You'd think he might have a nicer box, but I guess maybe he literally takes one for the team. He just takes
maybe
a smaller box. And now he's not the AD anymore. So I'm sure who knows where they're putting him now. Yeah.
Here, Barry, you can sit in the car and watch it on your iPhone. No, I'm sure they treat Barry just fine, given all what he's done for the program. And as a result, the school.
Yeah.
You know, you played college basketball for 2 years at Michigan Tech. We were just talking about this with John Mino, co-host of Mino and the Mayor. And he knew everything about Tech. He knew everything about. Do you ever regret not just going right? You did the last 2 years at Madison. Do you ever regret not going there your freshman year and trying to walk on?
Well, a little bit. Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't think Madison was really interested in having me walk on, in all fairness.
You could walk on.
So
keep walking, buddy.
To the extent I regret not making the NBA, I regret that.
Okay.
I regret, you know, not going to the Badgers and walking on. Yeah. I mean, all that stuff. But, you know, the funniest part about the Twitter stuff is that my friends to this day still tease me all the time about the fact that I just gave away the rights to @UW Badgers on Twitter. You know, it was all in good fun. But
you know, it's funny. I often think back the times I've been bumped from airlines or they've made me mad because they just don't treat people that well, in my opinion. I really wish I had gone out and gotten UnitedAirlines.com, American Airlines, and just held them.
That would have been fun, right?
And really raked them over the coals. Yeah. But you wouldn't want to do that to your alma mater. You want to do that to some big corporation that's kind of screwing you over from time to time, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so Andy, it's great to have you in town. I love talking TV and film with my family. You are family.
Yeah.
What are you watching?
Well, I watch a lot of Badger sports, and they're playing tonight, actually, as this is going on.
You've been checking your watch the whole interview yet.
Well, you know what? I'm knocking, I'm knocking on wood for the Badgers against Indiana right now. But then I just started Mr. and Mrs. Smith on Amazon.
So how is, I know a few people have told me.
It's okay.
Okay.
I like it. It's, you know, if you're struggling for something to watch.
You're desperate.
It's good. I wouldn't say even desperate. It's good. I like it. It's not great, but I like it.
I know you're a big Office fan too. What do you say, what's your favorite Office episode? Is it one of the Michael Scarn?
I mean, ask me which one of my kids I love the most. Give me a break. Are you kidding me?
Interesting, you know, comparison.
Yeah, I know. I mean, there's so many. A couple of unknown ones is Local Ad, which is
Local Ad is great.
That's great.
Where Ed Helms can't remember the name of the "Give Me a Break, right. Give Me a Break" now for that football cream.
It's great.
I can't remember.
Right. That. Conflict Resolution's another one that's great.
One of my favorites.
And American Fiction, the movie American Fiction.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Just saw
movie.
It. Loved it as well.
Fantastic movie.
This has been fun. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on. It's been an honor.
My pleasure. That's great all-around guy, Andy Schwaba, who basically gave @UW Badgers to his alma mater. He did not try to rake them over the coals. This is what humanity should be like,
well,
people.
I think they have me to thank for their success.
Exactly.
Since then.
Thanks so much, Andy. All right, we will be back. Coming up next, we got Chris Foran is on the way. You won't want to miss that. It's Pete Schwaba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the talk of Green Bay WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. If you only have a 401k, you're not getting the most for retirement.
Wait, what?
Add a Robinhood IRA on top, then they'll boost it by 3%.
You can do that?
And if you transfer in any retirement account, you get 3% on top of that.
Is there a limit to the match?
No limit. Robinhood Gold gets you the biggest contribution match of any IRA on the market. Sign up for Robinhood Gold at Robinhood.com/boost by April 30th. Subscription fees apply.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires gold for 1 year from first match. Must keep IRA for 5 years. Match on transfers subject to additional terms and conditions. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC.
Crunch the numbers. Wisconsin's state retirement system is financing polluters and helping create climate chaos, which is not good for our water, our air, or our planet. It's time to insist on common sense investments, not bankrolling yesterday's fossil fuels. Be the change. Go to climatesafepensionswisconsin.org and sign the petition. Our investments should be protected, and it should serve to protect. Future generations will thank you.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Welcome back. Am I crazy, Conrad, or is this like an insanely fun show tonight?
Oh, yeah. So fun.
You got Aunt Carla constantly correcting her own texts. So much fun. Thank you, Carla. She's such a good sport. Mike calling in from Green... Not Mike. I'm sorry. Steve calling in from Green Bay. Saying nice words about the show. That was really fun to hear. And your mom's saying Blue Moon. Not sure what flavor that is. Not too late to get in on the action. What is your favorite flavor? Ice cream. We got the idea because there was an article that said chocolate chip ice cream was no longer number one in the country. It does seem kind of retro-y. It's not the go-to anymore. From the 715, Badgers lose again. Poor coaching down the stretch. They lost again.
I didn't even see that.
They lost to Indiana,
but I'm not surprised.
Right? Yeah, Indiana.
Yeah.
Where are they right now in the rankings?
They got to be, after that loss, they got to be down to like fifth or fourth or something around there, but okay. I don't know if I have hope for them in the tournament coming up. Might be in the NIT, actually. Who knows?
Here we go. Let's do this. Conrad, take a memo.
Okay.
Find out where the Badgers are ranked, because we're having this conversation. Now people might actually be interested. Let's try to tell them, if we can, where our beloved Badgers are ranked. That was a rough loss. I know when the 715 texts in about the Badgers, it's rough.
Fourth in the Big Ten.
Fourth in the Big Ten. So are they ranked still in the top 25?
No, I think they lost their ranking a couple weeks ago now. They lost to Iowa, I think, and that was, I think.
Yeah, you're right.
I think that was the last.
I remember that.
Yeah.
The same texter texting in the 715. Mike from the 715. Badgers not ranked. You know the best thing to do, Mike? It's National Ice Cream Day. So we are declaring here on Nightlight. Go get yourself a big tub of chocolate chip ice cream, the former number one ice cream in America, and just mow it, man. Down it. Oh my God, the Badgers are 2-10 in their last 10 games, or 2-8?
Yeah, they horrible coaching down the stretch, like he said. And that's the case for most of these games.
Oh, wow. Not happy with Greg Gard.
No.
And my brother, who was just on, is it? Big time basketball fan too, Badger fan, and yeah, be interesting to see what happens.
At least we still got Marquette in Wisconsin.
Marquette. Yeah, they're top five, right?
I believe they might be top five, somewhere around there, which is awesome.
No, I just suggested chocolate chip, and 715 says Häagen-Dazs waffle cone. Now you're talking. That'll ease the pain, and you'll feel crappy after you eat it too. So you'll feel crappy about two things: your team lost. And you just wolf down a gallon of Häagen-Dazs. I've been there. I've been there way too many times. Okay, so this is the day the show Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader dropped in 2007. Jeff Foxworthy was the host. I mentioned before on the show, I worked on the show briefly. I filled in for Foxworthy's producer, and I got to be Jeff's guy for about a month. And it was really fun. But I will say, hanging out with Foxworthy in the green room was fun because he was a big star. So just in that span, one of the guests that stopped by was Regis Philbin. They were taping Regis and Kathy Lee or something down the hall. And Regis pops in and he's hanging out with Foxworthy and me in the green room. Really with Foxworthy. I just happened to be there. But such a fun conversation to listen to these two guys talk. And Jeff is a great stand-up. I know everybody, oh, he's the redneck guy. Before he even did the redneck stuff, very, very good stand-up. And a heck of a nice guy. So we have a, this is classic Foxworthy. I did not feed him this joke. This is probably one of his own or the guy that was his normal producer. But this is a clip from Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? And Jeff Foxworthy having a little fun.
If you made it to $1 million,
yes,
just hypothetically, what would you do with it if you had $1 million?
Well, for starters, I would have to take my beautiful wife on a shopping spree.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. After that, I'd probably splurge a little bit and buy that Lamborghini I've always wanted and give it a nice custom camouflage paint job, maybe write class of 94 on there.
Camouflage Lamborghini. That's not even might be a redneck. You are a redneck.
Does that guy know, like, you could probably pay $1 million for a Lamborghini?
Yeah, I feel like it's a lot of money, so.
You send your wife on a $500 shopping spree, then you buy a $950,000 Lamborghini with camo in class of 94. Your high school graduating class. Hanging on to that? You're going to put that on the side of your car? That's so funny. And then you got, like, I don't know, $100 left over. Good stuff. Great idea for a show, though. I worked on another show for those guys called Bandits versus Smokies, where they would find, it was for country music television, and they would just find these clips of these like redneck guys and country guys running around committing crimes, and then we would just dub in voices. And it was one of those things, it was like a 12-week gig. You just did it for the money, but they had like 8 shows on at the same time, and you didn't get out of there till 10 o'clock at night. It was insane. But that was a good show. Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? It was a great concept and a fun show to work on. So we play the Gypsy Kings coming back from the break because Hotel California, the name of the song, this is the anniversary of the day that album dropped from the Eagles. It's funny. People either love or hate the Eagles. I'm a fan. I like the Eagles. But I love the Gypsy Kings version, the way they played it in the Big Lebowski. We also have another commercial we want to play. This is fun. Conrad found this. and why don't you go ahead and set it up? This is a commercial,
I think it
20
was
years ago, maybe?
10 years ago now. And okay. It was a Kmart commercial. And it's a little play on words.
Yeah.
And they do not actually say it. They say ship.
Okay.
Like
we can play
shipped.
It then. Yeah.
Ship my pants. Right here? Ship my pants, you're kidding.
You can ship your pants right here.
You hear that? I can ship my pants for free.
Wow, I just may ship my pants.
Yeah, ship your pants. Billy, you can ship your pants too.
I can't wait to ship my pants, Dad.
I just shipped my pants and it's very convenient.
Very convenient.
I just shipped my drawers.
I just shipped my nightie.
I just shipped my bed.
If you can't find what you're looking for in store, we'll find it at Kmart.com right now and ship it to you for free.
I swear one of those sounded like the actual word. I think I snuck it in there to see who was listening.
See, I went back and played it back and went on every single one, and they'd never say it.
Even that one?
They do not say it.
Well, that was on network TV, so it's got to be broadcast friendly,
yeah.
Network friendly, but it just sounded.
It's so fast, that's why. It's so close to it, but it's not.
They're playing with fire. FCC is going to come down. There isn't even an FCC anymore. Is
Maybe
there?
That's like, why we can't find Kmart anymore.
Yeah, that sent the whole company into the toilet. That's great. And we wanted to get to, well, Michael Bolton. We're not going to get to that clip today. It was Michael Bolton's birthday yesterday. And one of my favorite scenes in a movie, comedy, is from Office Space, where there's a character named Michael Bolton and he hates his name is Michael Bolton. But hey, we got a lot of fun still left on this show. You can still chime in and tell us your favorite flavor ice cream. Let us know. 844-967-2789. Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is up next for some TV and movie talk on Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Waking up in Vegas. Why are these lights so bright? Did we get hitched last night? Dressed up like Why am I wearing your class ring?
Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
This is a special report from ABC News, Texas Wildfires. I'm Daria Albinger. Dozens of counties in the Texas Panhandle declared disaster areas by Governor Greg Abbott. They're in the paths of four major wildfires. ABC's Maria Villarreal in Fort Worth.
Governor Abbott is declaring a state of emergency for 60 counties, saying these wildfires are devastating. As of right now, forecasters say they expect the conditions to improve overnight, but they could get worse once again by the end of the week.
In the city of Canadian, residents are being told to shelter in place with all of the roads out impassable. Misty West lives in nearby Pampa.
It just moves so fast. There's just no trees. It's flat out here or canyons and ranch land. And that's where it just, I think they were saying it was going like 5 miles an hour, which you think isn't that fast, but it is.
250,000 acres have already burned. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
4 Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggeho. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers says he will veto a bill that looks to address PFAS forever chemicals. While the bill would help communities clean up PFAS contamination, Evers said it would also limit state officials' ability to hold polluters responsible. He's instead calling on the state's Joint Finance Committee to release the $125 million set aside in the state budget to communities impacted by PFAS to test and treat their water. Republican leaders in the legislature are looking to continue their fight to oust Wisconsin's chief elections administrator. They filed an appeal to a ruling in January from a Dane County judge saying that they have no authority to remove Megan Wolf from her job. They say that the State Elections Commission has a duty to appoint a new administrator after Wolf's term expired in June. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Today, young adults face big questions about their future. How will you make your mark? Do you want to be part of something bigger than yourself? Are you ready to learn new skills and make new friendships? Perhaps you have a dream that you're ready to make real. So, how will you make a mark with your future? As you embark on a journey toward finding these answers, the military can serve as a resource for providing help, information, and opportunities. A public service message from the Department of Defense. To learn more, visit todaysmilitary.com.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Some rain showers this evening, becoming all snow showers overnight, and windy gusts 30 to 40 miles an hour. A low to the mid-teens, wind chills drop to near zero. Flurries and clouds linger tomorrow morning, then clearing and colder for the afternoon, high mid-20s. But up to 40 Thursday. It's 60 right now.
Earl Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Vinson.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think the King celebration and all of those other kinds of things are more important. They occurred in Wisconsin as well, and we've impacted the entire nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
It's Oscar season, and since the award started in 1929, more than 3,000 Oscars have been awarded. But only 60 have been won by Black actors. The first Black woman to win Best Lead Actress was Halle Berry for the film Monsters Ball in 2002. Denzel Washington earned Best Lead Actor for Training Day also in 2002, marking the first time both of the top Oscars were won by African Americans. That hasn't happened since. Listen for more Black History stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to the Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I'm not crazy, right, Conrad? This has been a really fun show.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely not just saying that.
It has been a really fun show.
Yeah, I have to be here. It is my job, but I'm having a lot of fun. So great responses tonight to our question. That's always fun. So much fun with Andrew Genzer and Andrew Schwabba. We had two redheads on last night. First time in radio history that's been done. And tonight we had two guys named Andrew, so we had to change it up. So my next guest is not named Andrew. He's a very accomplished entertainment reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Chris Foran joins us now on Nightlight. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Pete. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing tonight?
Okay. Thanks for having me.
You bet. So as it turns out, I have a lot to ask you, a lot of subjects I'd love to touch on. We'd have to make it a miniseries. So sure. I'll just try to keep it to the highlights. I love your article about presidents that visited Wisconsin, and I think I'm a pretty informed guy, but there's a lot of stuff in there I didn't know.
Me too. It was a learning experience for me as well.
Especially Roosevelt. I read like this huge book on him like 30 years ago. I don't remember him getting shot in Wisconsin.
Well, that's a big deal. It's one of our great claims to fame that where the Hyatt is downtown, right there across from where the journal offices used to be.
And what saved his life apparently was he had his spectacle case and a folded up speech in his pocket that helped slow down the bullet.
Yeah. He was not known for short speeches. So it was apparently a very big speech that he had folded in his pocket, and he had a metal spectacle case. And supposedly, and I've seen various versions of this, but supposedly he went to the speech. He was, you know, he's older by then too. So he kind of staggered a bit and I'm okay. And he walked over to what I still some old think of as the auditorium, but it's the Miller High Life Theater downtown. And spoke to like 8,000 people and holds out his speech. It's got holes in it, you know, and it says, and it takes more than that to kill a bull moose, because that was the nickname for his party. And of course, he still got creamed in the election. So,
right. At least in your article, you said he was running as a third. He lost the nomination, right, for the Republican Party. Well, so he ran a third party?
He announced early after he was elected in 1940, he became president when McKinley died. He was vice president. 1940 was elected. And it's not long after he's inaugurated, he said, this will be two terms, so I won't run again. It was kind of a tradition. It wasn't a law then. And he regretted it almost instantly. And even after he had promoted his Secretary of War, William Howard Taft, to run. So then he tried to get the nomination and he wasn't able to get it. So he ran as a third party. The guy who shot him was actually one of his big motivations was that he didn't think a president should have three terms.
I thought you were going to say because he knew Roosevelt was going to give a really long speech.
Well, that would have been another good reason. Right. Although those days, people always gave really long speeches.
So. Yeah. You know what's crazy? I'm reading about you said two presidents were shot in Wisconsin in your article. You think about
shot at.
Okay. And were there more crazies back then?
It was written intentionally vague. Zachary Taylor, when he was here, he commanded the troops at both Fort Howard in Green Bay. And I'm going to draw a blank on the one in Prairie du Chien
where he built the
Fort Crawford and during the Black Hawk War. And so he would have traded bullets with people there. But yes, this is the state that, you know, gave birth to Arthur Bremer. And, you know, that we have a long tradition of being the progressive state, but we're also kind of the nutty state.
So right.
We have
a lot of, you know, you can get it all here in Wisconsin.
We do. That's why we're special.
Yeah. I love you have a photo of Eisenhower fishing. It's just such a neat picture. How hard is it to dig that stuff up? Do you have access to it right at the Journal Sentinel, or do you still have to do a lot of research?
It's a bit of both. Fortunately, I work with a couple of really smart visual people. Bill Schultz is a guy who's been digging through our archives over the last 10 years or so. And about 9 years ago, we brought back something that used to be in the old Milwaukee Journal called the Green Sheet. And one of the things we did is dig up part of the reason for doing it is we found all these great negatives that Bill discovered. And so he's, when he finds stuff that's worth putting out there, we'll do that. There's, you know, everything from, you know, celebrities who came to the old Journal building, get their picture taken, like Sidney Poitier or Bobby Darin, to that kind of archival stuff. There's a lot of stuff we don't have, you know, famously, back in the old days when there was, the Journal was a, you know, top 20 market in Milwaukee, people would come, stars would come to town, even, and lesser stars would come to town to be photographed and talk to journalists here. And 1949, a young starlet who not a lot of people knew of, she knew they were, they knew she was attractive, they knew she was, came in, got her picture taken, did a quick interview. She was Marilyn Monroe. And famously, the photographer kept the negatives. So we don't actually have that picture. And when he died, his obituary ran with a picture of him standing in his house, framed on the wall behind him was the picture of Marilyn.
So that's how the Marilyn Monroe picture thing started, the obsession with men having pictures of Marilyn Monroe.
Maybe
he started something there.
You know, Milwaukee, we like to say Milwaukee is 1 degree of separation. So
you also have a great photo of Bush, the older Bush, falling bowling. Yeah. It's such a great photo. And then
it is a great photo.
I wish you would talk to me, Chris, because I have a Kennedy story. John F. Kennedy, I went to Marinette Catholic Central High School. Okay. John F. Kennedy, before I was born, obviously was campaigning through there, gave a speech in the gym, went out to his car in the back and had to go to the bathroom and use the bathroom in the convent. And it became known as, what was his nickname? Camelot's Throne.
Camelot's Throne. There you go.
Sure. And that was in the convent. My mom had an office there. She was the foundation director. And I remember, this is how obsessed with history I am, but I think a lot of people are. I stood there and stared at the toilet that John Kennedy used when I was 15 years old, not knowing they probably swapped out the toilets at some point in the last 40 years. Sure. But
well, but that the bench that you see him sitting on is still in the Journal, is in our, even though we moved, it's still in our offices.
Oh, nice.
With the picture above it and a little plaque on the bench.
That's really cool. And then I saw you had Clinton was in Milwaukee for a sausage summit. I didn't know if that was named just for effect.
It's unclear. It was used a lot in the paper. I was actually at the paper by then. It was used quite a bit.
Okay. So we in our email exchange earlier, we both discovered that we watched True Detective season 4 in Night Country. So I want to start with that. What did you think of that?
Well, when your earlier guest talked about not having seen seasons 2 or 3, I was the same. I'm only a recent comer to HBO because I just don't have the time for it. And but I figured I should watch it, and because Jodie Foster is so great.
Yeah.
And, I have mixed feelings, complicated feelings about the movie Naiad, but I thought she was fantastic in it. For example, she's really good at bringing out the smaller stuff in a part. And I thought it was okay. I'm not always interested in the existential stuff in those kind of stories, but I thought I was wondering if they would bring it to closure, and they kind of did. And I guess I was okay with that. I think we talked about them. I'm kind of old fashioned about my TV. I like things to be kind of resolved.
And, yeah.
I don't mind cliffhangers, but it's okay that something gets settled. So, but I thought it was interesting. I mean, I've never spent any time in Alaska, but it was interesting. It did not make me want to go there, I will say.
Right. Especially not at that time of year. I kind of felt that way too. Like, I really liked how it started. I get so excited I loved the first season. It's one of the best shows I think I've ever seen. It was so well done. Little bit of the existential stuff in that, or I should say the, paranormal maybe. But I think what happened with this, Chris, and just because my attention span was not where it needed to be, I think I missed like 2 minutes of the story and got completely lost.
It's super easy to do, but that's why they made DVRs, and that's why they made Max, so you can rewind. You
know? And I need to go back, and I'll probably do that because I have faith in the brand, and I want to see it again and figure out what I missed because I kind of got lost. And I could, it's like I went to Inception. You'll appreciate this. Maybe I fell asleep during a movie where people go into dreams. So I was doubly lost during Inception, but yeah, I think I have to go give it another chance. You really have to focus on the show.
And there are arguments made for that repeated watch. There's also arguments to be made for if it's confusing, maybe don't have time to watch it again.
That's a good point too. Yeah. My guest is Chris Foran. He is an entertainment reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We also mentioned about last night on the show, I talked about how network TV at times feels dated. I don't know if it's predictable or what, but I was watching an episode of Chicago PD and I knew exactly what was going to happen. And I feel like sometimes they don't know how to be edgy. So they throw a death in or something. Am I wrong about that? Or do you feel that way about network TV?
I go back and forth on this. When I watch TV shows, I'm often looking for traditional formatting. I like shows that have a, like sitcoms, I like to know when the rhythm of the jokes is, and
right,
and which is why I drive my singing out of the crazy watching like Big Bang Theory over and over because I know when the joke's going to be. It's 7 minutes in, right there is when they do the joke, and there is a comfort to that formula for a lot of viewers. Over the air television is watched by older viewers more than the higher percentage, not exclusively, but. It's a higher percentage. And so I'm wondering if there's some comfort in that consistency.
Yeah.
Before you can literally set your watch by Law and Order. I mean, you know, when it's at that bottom of the hour, because they've started a trial, and
right.
And maybe that's part of it. There's been some great television that's been, in recent years. I have not seen, I've only seen a couple episodes. Abbott Elementary is amazing.
I got to watch that. I hear it's great.
I need to go back and it's on cable. I need to go back and watch The Bear. It made me too anxious, but I heard nothing but good things about it. So
did you say that last time you were here? I kind of remember you.
I might have. Because that's not what I'm looking for in television. It doesn't mean it's bad. It's
right.
I think there's, there are shows, I've taken a shot at the new version of Night Court and it's got some charm to it.
Okay.
But I think, I wonder if it feels predictable because maybe it's supposed to be,
Yeah.
There's so little of it, because of the strikes they had, right now there's so little of that television. I mean, so much of it is game shows now and competition shows because they could do those.
Right.
We'll see how it goes going forward. And there's some interesting, show the new seasons are all just starting, so there's some new shows coming.
We'll honest,
I think you're probably onto something.
Yeah, but I totally forgot about those. That's why this weekend I just was in kind of one of those moods where I didn't want anything too heady, and I thought I'll watch a few episodes of Chicago PD, Law and Order, Organized Crime. I don't know what is going on with Chris Maloney. Like he's a good actor, but he got the shaved head. He's obviously on some kind of steroid thing, and he's got this gray crazy goatee. He looks like an action hero all of a sudden rather than a regular dude. It's weird.
Yeah, his episodes of SVU were a little tough for me to watch because the world, people talk about how the TV news has made people think there's more crime than there is.
Yeah.
Boy, those people are also watching a lot of SVU. Same thing.
You said that you watched the last episode. Sam Waterston did over 400 episodes of Law and Order, the original Law and Order. I did not see the final episode. How did they send him off? You know what? Let's hold on to that thought. Let's come back and get your thoughts on that because I did not see that episode, and I'm really curious as to what you thought about it, Chris. My guest is Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. One texter from the 715 says he had a friend who fell asleep during Inception 2. That was me. Okay. But we'll be right back with more Chris Foran, and I want to ask you about another article in the Journal Sentinel 2 that – tab the most famous person from each Wisconsin county. That was a good read too. So we'll do that when we come back. That's next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
I can't hear a sound, folks talking loud, but I don't see at all. I gotta get away, gotta get away. I don't
know where to go. It's hopeless, so I guess I'll leave it alone.
Well, I spent all that day fixing up to go somewhere. Thought I was late, and I found
when she wasn't there.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Connect the dots. Would you dip into your retirement savings to make a loan to climate-polluting oil, coal, and gas companies? Well, you already have if you're a member of Wisconsin's public employee retirement system. Go to climatesafepensionswisconsin.org. Sign the petition. Common sense investments, not financing polluters. Future generations will thank you for visiting. That's climatesafepensionswisconsin.org.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
Welcome back to Nightlight. Tomorrow night on the program, comedian Brian Hicks and Christy Barlaman joins me to discuss what the city of Green Bay is doing to combat dementia. That's tomorrow night on Nightlight. Right now, I'm talking to Chris Foran. He is the entertainment reporters for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Chris, you were talking about Sam Waterston's last episode on Law and Order. What did you think of that?
Well, I think they wanted to have him go out and, you know, be his principal character and not, you know, it was a case with lots of political ramifications, and it was getting a lot of pressure from the mayor to go one way, and he went a different way, and it allowed him to then resign so that the governor could point somebody to replace him and not put all the pressure on the guy who was going to naturally succeed him. And I thought it was okay. It was better than him, like, you know, having a heart attack or,
right,
you know, getting shot in the courtroom or something like that, which we've seen, you know,
sure,
have his plane shot down over the Sea of Japan or something like that. So it was, you know,
he was a good character. Do you watch the show Bosch?
I watched the first couple seasons.
Okay.
I just lost track of it. It's really well done.
Yeah.
Based on some good crime novels.
Yeah. Michael Connelly. And I just think pound for pound, maybe my favorite crime show ever. Well cast, well acted, mm-hmm. well shot. The shots are beautiful. Mm-hmm. The stories are unpredictable. I don't know. I'm just a big fan, and I can't believe it's not more popular.
Well, part of the issue with a lot of the streaming shows is that it's like streaming movies. They don't have that built-in marketing infrastructure to put them out in front of you.
Right. Like the network shows do. Yeah.
Right. Well, even the ones that like a lot of the stuff that runs on FX, for example, runs on television, but then it runs on streaming.
Right.
So it gets a double marketing barrel. My favorite show like that was Justified, which is just amazing.
Great show.
A couple of seasons especially. And, but I think it helped that it had that big exposure.
I totally agree. Justified is so great. The way the show starts with him confronting that guy in Miami and saying, I'm going to shoot you if you don't draw on me. Forcing the guy to draw on him and you know,
right,
it was just great. And did you like the new season, this one set in Detroit?
Yeah, it reminded me a little bit of, in a weird way, it reminded me of No Country for Old Men.
Yeah, movie. Interesting.
And that it's, you know, this is a principal lawman goes into a situation, and you know what, he can't keep up with the level of evil he's confronted with,
right?
And I can't remember the great Tommy Lee Jones line from the movie, but it's the same kind of thing where it's just, man, there's really not much I can do to this, you know, with this.
Right.
And I thought it was good. It wasn't as slick as the first couple seasons. That second season of that show in particular was with Margot Martindale and a young Caitlin Dever and some really, really good people on that show.
Yeah. It was a really well done series. Love the character. Love Timothy Oliphant, but I kind of agree with you. I thought it was a cool kind of marriage of that character and the city of Detroit. And I was excited to see it shot in Detroit. Yeah, and
Elmo Leonard has written a lot of stuff in Detroit.
That's
like his hometown, I think. So.
Oh yeah. Okay. And I just was like, I don't know. I liked it, but I wanted it to be a little better. But and Boyd Holbrook kind of annoyed me. If I had to see him in his underpants one more time, I was like, okay, we get it. You know?
Yeah, that was a bit much.
All right. So one of your colleagues, Chris, in the Journal Sentinel wrote a piece called, well, it was Actors, Athletes, and Spies. These 72 people are the most famous from each county in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was based on page views, I guess.
It was, yeah, it was using, it was actually some of our data journalists joined up with some of our writers. We give them credits. They deserve it. Alex Groth, Claire Reed, J.R. Radcliffe, and Andrew Hahn. And they started with using, I think it was actually traffic on Wikipedia page, most viewed Wikipedia page.
Oh, okay.
Which is sort of the Encyclopedia Britannica of our time. So,
yeah.
And yeah, it was, when I first heard about it, I thought, well, that's really one, that's really interesting. And two, boy, that's a lot. And I thought they did a really good job. It's really interesting. Some are predictable, some are not.
How does Milwaukee, it's such a great city, how do they erase the Dahmer legacy? He's like number one on this in page views, probably because of the TV shows and the movies, but, and this number two, Christopher Scarver's the guy that killed him.
Like well, and I think that is a lot because of the TV show. Dahmer has always been the hype. Anytime I've ever written about a Dahmer reality show, it's been huge traffic for me. They tried really hard to erase him. I mean,
yeah,
there are some who will tell you that they executed him in prison, and by putting him and Jesse Anderson, Milwaukee's second most notorious murderer at the time, on the same detail with a guy who was bent on killing them. And then taking the guard out of the room.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, when he died, and it's in that Netflix series, a bunch of PR people in town got together and bought all of the artifacts from his apartment and had them destroyed at an unidentified landfill in Illinois.
No kidding.
And his apartment building was torn down. This, you know, it happened in Plainfield, too, when Ed Gein's house went up for auction. It mysteriously burned down the day before it was going to be sold.
Yeah, you don't want that stuff turning up at antique shows or now on Craigslist or whatever.
But people are fascinated by that stuff. So
yeah,
we love monsters here. So
yeah, for sure. Hey, Chris, this was really fun tonight. Mm-hmm. I appreciate your time and always great. Fun having Thanks you on. Time. Keep up the great work and we'll talk again soon, I hope.
Thank you. Thanks for reading it. We'll talk to you sometime soon.
All right. You got it, Chris. Thanks. That's Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Always fun to talk to him, not just about TV and movies, but a lot of stuff. We covered a lot of stuff there and made a dent, at least, in all the stuff I had for Chris. So yesterday was Michael Bolton's birthday. And here's how I think we should close the show, Conrad. Are you still here?
I did take a powder for a second.
Okay. Well, everyone's got a powder. Once do we have time to play the Michael Bolton clip?
It's a little bit too long.
Oh, is it too long?
Yeah.
That's a terrible thing.
We should open the show tomorrow
with Mike. Okay. So you missed the Michael Bolton clip, and I don't want to scare people away. It's not actually Michael Bolton singing, but I'm just going to tease it right there. I'm going to leave it. We will have Michael Bolton talk tomorrow near the front of the show. And as I mentioned, comedian Brian Hicks will be here tomorrow night and Christy Barlament. We got another text. Oh, we got some great texts tonight. This is from the 608. Peach Wow, the best ice cream to me is Häagen-Dazs coffee ice cream with a cup of Pete's, no relation, freshly brewed coffee on the side. Pete's coffee is great, I agree. Both leisurely consumed while watching a Packer Brewer or Bucks game on TV. A beautiful thing. Signed, Steady Eddie. That is awesome. Thank you, Eddie. Great way to close the show. I'd like to thank my guest tonight, Andrew Genzer, comedy writer extraordinaire, Andrew Schwaba and his awesome UW Badger story, and of course, Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Thanks so much for the texts and calls. This is Pete Schwaba with Nightlight. We'll be back tomorrow with more Nightlight. Good night, Wisconsin.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wednesday, I've got Reggie Jackson on to discuss the school to prison pipeline.
Weekday afternoons from 2 until 4.
crunch the numbers. Wisconsin's state retirement system is financing polluters and helping create climate chaos, which is not good for our water, our air, or our planet. It's time to insist on common sense investments, not bankrolling yesterday's fossil fuels. Be the change. Go to climatesafepensionswisconsin.org and sign the petition. Our investments should be protected, and it should serve to protect. Future generations will thank you.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.